Suzanne Del Banco calling from Catalyst for Payment Reform. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing, Suzanne?
Doing well. So we've got a project going at Catalyst for Payment Reform funded by the Commonwealth Fund where we are trying to understand the possibilities in the market for employers and other purchasers to find a way to amass their volume at the local level and, you know, maybe get something better out of the healthcare system than they're able to on their own. But as part of doing that, we want to talk to a lot of people who've had some experience from, you know, the health plan side, working with employers, et cetera. And so, of course, I thought of you. And I just want to warn you, though, that we have an audience listening into our conversation. So because of that, I just would love it if you would introduce yourself first.
Sure. My name's Alan Muni. I'm a doctor, was a pediatric hospitalist, and most recently was chief medical officer of Cigna nationally for about 10 years. And currently, I'm an advisor to several private equity and venture capital firms.
Thanks for that. So, you know, you worked at Cigna. You've worked at some other health plans. You also had a stint with Equity Healthcare that buys benefits for companies invested in by private equity. So, you know, based on all of that experience that you've had, what strategies do you think employers and other healthcare purchasers should focus on if they want to try to counterbalance the high and rising prices coming from healthcare providers?
Sure. So, I think first and foremost, the most important thing to focus on is looking at your healthcare cost results in a total cost of care format. So what that means is it's not just about getting the better unit costs, because you can have great unit costs, but if you're not managing the employees well, meaning the provider network isn't good, then those chronically ill patients who are consuming most of the costs hit those unit costs more frequently than they should, and your total cost of care isn't what you want it to be.
That's a, you know, really important holistic view to have, because, you know, a lot of times people do look at just unit price and they don't think about, you know, the big picture. But I guess what I would be curious from your perspective is, do you think that the major incumbent health insurance companies, health plans out there are focused on total cost of care? Do they facilitate having that orientation, or do you think they get in the way?
No, I absolutely think they're focused on that orientation, and certainly in the last couple of years, even more so. And the reason why I say that is because if you've looked at what's happened with the larger health plans, whether it's, you know, United, Aetna, Cigna, they have all acquired or been acquired by pharmaceutical companies, PBMs, et cetera. And the reason for that is because drugs are such an important cost component that they have end-to-end control or total cost control over what's going on in terms of expenses. And so a focus by them on total cost of care is really what they're viewing as their competitive play in the marketplace. And of course, you can't do that without having the right delivery system in place. And so how they architect the delivery systems in terms of how those providers perform in total cost of care is really what we've all been talking about in the last, you know, half dozen to 10 years, is that value-based care. And I think the important component now is how does the delivery system in conjunction with those health plans get to the lowest total cost of care and the highest quality for those patients. So it is all about evidence-based medicine, and it's all about focusing on getting people what they need when they need it and not creating utilization for patients when they don't need it.
And I guess as I'm thinking about the moment in which we are living, you know, with the corona pandemic and the, you know, significant economic downturn and what could be a long downturn, you know, we are both at once very sympathetic to healthcare providers who are experiencing a lot of financial hardship right now because either, you know, spending extra to prepare for COVID-19 or because of the loss of, you know, elective procedures and such. When we look at total cost of care and the future, do you worry that that focus might shift in some way because of the financial situation that some providers find themselves in?
So, you know, we all hope, obviously, that where we find ourselves now is corrected over the next, you know, 18 to 24 months as we get vaccines. And, you know, that's what we all want. From the provider's point of view, all the precautions that have to be taken and the decrease in revenue that certainly has occurred has been, you know, dramatic to say the least, but will come back. So I think it's important that we think about total cost of care still as the North Star. And while costs have gone down in medical expense because of COVID, you know, it will create some type of right sizing. But at the end of the day, it's still going to be about total cost of care and having evidence-based medicine driving the right provider decisions. So what I'd say from COVID point of view is it's accelerating things like digital transformation, you know, in terms of telemedicine, but it's important for us to not lose that North Star. We don't want to overreact, you know, in the short run and then underreact in the long run, meaning doing telemedicine is okay, but having the patient come to the office and be examined and lungs listened to and all of this type of thing is still important, you know, until we could actually digitally transform those too down the road in terms of how those exams are done. But
right.
But it doesn't change the North Star.
Uh-huh. And so when we talk about total cost of care, I mean, one thing that strikes me always is that part of the, quote, cost, it's not really the cost to deliver the care, but the cost to those who buy the care is the price. And so one of the challenges that employers have been facing and other purchasers is that as healthcare providers have consolidated and amassed more market power, they have greater ability to charge higher prices. And, you know, it's one of the biggest drivers of healthcare costs is the increasing price. And so one of the reasons we're thinking about this dynamic in the marketplace, how do purchasers sort of rebalance that, is to put downward pressure on price. So I'm just curious, from all your vast experiences, do you think purchasers have a fighting chance if they were to find some way to coordinate with each other, you know, of course, in legally permissible ways, and try to amass their volume, you know, at a local market level?
Yeah. So let's talk first about the, I'll refer to as the promise and the peril about provider aggregation, if you will, both in terms of hospital systems and the doctors that they own, as well as groups coming together just on the physician side. So the promise is that a more organized group of physicians can practice in a better fashion in terms of evidence-based care and ultimately total cost of care. The peril in this is that we never get there because the short term of raising prices has been the strategy of provider aggregation, you know, without doubt. When you compare pre and post physician pricing before and after they've been employed by hospitals, it uniformly is a higher price for the same exact service. So the employers have lost when it comes to that. When the employers think about coming together and think about the goal, it certainly sounds right to say, hey, if we come together, we can be better purchases across, you know, multiple employers, you know, when we go to health plans and even when we go to delivery systems in the local market. And in fact, that type of approach has been tried, you know, whether, you know, through the, you know, business groups on health or whether it's been through, you know, large national consulting houses trying to do that. What's interesting to me is it's all the right thought. But again, it's not just about unit cost, it's about the total cost of care with the right providers. So that is correct. But where it has tended to fall apart that I have seen is that after all the work done by local employers in a market that want to come together in terms of choosing providers and making the right choices based on their performance, where it tends to fall apart is you can't get the employers to agree on a set of benefits that actually embraces those providers, whether, you know, in the same copay or co-insurance format for going to the better providers. And the reason for that is because the employers are all different. They have different populations. And it's tended not to happen as a group because the benefit structures don't end up melding together. And then when you are asking providers to take, especially if you're asking providers to take risk in that larger employer coalition, and some benefit structures allow more leakage out of their system than others, the providers, you know, are not going to want to do it. So that is where I've seen it fall apart.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're speaking to many stories I've heard and, you know, ringing a bell for sure. So let's say that employers have a hard time, you know, like you say, agreeing with each other on how to put all this together. So supposedly health plans, the big incumbent ones, should be really providing the service for them, meaning they are aggregating volume. They do try to get discounts, et cetera. But obviously we're in a situation today where it hasn't succeeded globally in keeping prices down. So then, you know, there's some new entrants in the market, alternative, you know, third-party administrators that focus, let's say, on high-value providers. They use whatever data they have access to and criteria to select a subset of what could be a broader network and, you know, in return promise a lower premium, a lower price point. Do you think that these alternative third-party administrators, you know, without maybe the baggage that an incumbent health plan has with providers and, you know, contract clauses and things that have been around for years, do you think these alternative third-party administrators can have some successes where employers coming together have not and where the incumbent health plans have not?
Yeah, so the way I look at these vendors is that some of them have some innovative ways of looking at things and potentially capabilities. That said, I think that's what their value is that they can provide. If the health plans aren't doing that, the health plans need to develop those innovative approaches and capabilities. And if they do that because they need to sell against these carve-out vendors, as they're referred to, I think the health plans, at the end of the day, have a better shot at it because, again, they have end-to-end ability to control costs in a market and aggregating individual volume in that market by a vendor and going to contract with the individual providers and hospitals. Honestly, I just don't see their value long term versus trying to incorporate what they believe, the carve-out vendors believe, is their value proposition into the more holistic approach with a very value-based care provider. You know, the hospitals for example, on unit cost contracting, you have to remember from their point of view, they want to get volume that they don't have. And if a carve-out vendor is coming to them and say, well, I've got all these employers that will move from this hospital to that hospital, give us a better rate. And again, that's just unit cost, but it's part of their value approach. The hospitals are going to go, well, how many of these patients am I cannibalizing? You know, in terms of I've already got and given way rates with health plans on these patients. And if they're not going to get new volume, it actually is harder for the carve-out vendors to get rates that are, you know, much better than PPO-type rates, which doesn't help the large employer. So, again, bottom line is there's a risk of fragmentation of the care, certainly with carve-out vendors, potentially, in terms of the total cost of care. And whatever their capabilities are, I believe if the health plans can't duplicate them, they will, and they'll incorporate into the better total cost of care levers that they have, particularly the ones that own, you know, pharmacy now as well.
Well, that is fascinating. I think thinking about these dynamics and how they occur in the marketplace and transform it is really important and interesting. Alan, thank you so much for your time. I learned a ton, and I look forward to continuing these conversations with you because I've learned a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.